One of the greatest challenges to ultimate success, really, in any field, whether it be in sports or in business or even in the spiritual life, is not, in my estimation, failure. As frustrating as it is, genuine failure has the potential to lead to great success. In my opinion, one of the greatest challenges to success is complacency. Complacency is the state of being self-satisfied or of being comfortable with where one is and not really being willing to strive to be better. So the complacent person thinks that they are good enough as they are. They don't feel the need to act with any kind of urgency or diligence. Complacency is one of the great dangers which faces us as Christians, especially when we live in a culture of convenience like we do, one which is relatively well off, where we have what we need at our fingertips. It's so easy to kind of be lulled to sleep, spiritually speaking, to become complacent, to think that I am good enough. However, the message of today's gospel is really directly opposed to that notion of spiritual complacency. And you could say that it's opposed in two ways: through what Jesus says, and then through the example of his disciples. So first, Jesus himself says, as we heard, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now that's not a call, obviously, to future action, someday down the road when I will have to take my faith more seriously. That's a call to act now. To repent is to turn or to do kind of an about face, to convert, to be changed, to be different now than I was before. And why? Because God's kingdom is here now. And if we don't act now, we might miss our opportunity forever. And then secondly, we can learn how to oppose spiritual complacency by studying the action of the disciples when they're called. St. Matthew uses the words to describe how the disciples react to Jesus' invitation by saying that they left their prior life and followed Jesus immediately, at once, no hesitation. They recognized that now is the time for action, for diligence, for urgency. And so they respond immediately. And they respond well, as we know. Their lives are forever changed for the better. My friends, as I said, one of my great fears about our modern society is its ability to make Christians complacent, to kind of snuff out a sense of diligence and urgency that is really needed for the devoted practice of our faith, and to kind of lull us into thinking that I'm good enough. Me and God, we're on good enough terms. Sure, maybe I could practice my faith with greater enthusiasm or be more dedicated and committed to daily prayer, to helping those in need, to regular participation in the sacraments, but I'll get there eventually. There's always tomorrow. Well, the reality is that there isn't tomorrow. In the sense that all we really have is today, right now, this moment. As our late bishop, Bishop Serba, taught us with his own life, all we have is today, the present moment. As we have probably heard by now, he was walking to church across the parking lot to celebrate Sunday Mass like he had done many times before, when he suffered sudden cardiac arrest and then was gone. Now, again, I have great confidence, knowing the man as I did, to be a man of incredible, you could even say, saintly faith. I have great confidence of his being on the way to his heavenly reward, but I also know him well enough to know that he would want even the way of his passing to be a spur for us to greater faith ourselves, to greater urgency, that we don't know when our time will come. Now, the problem, of course, is that urgency and diligence can be difficult to maintain over time, right? Again, especially when we live in a culture of convenience like the one we live in. But I would challenge us to seriously consider the need for us to try to exercise a sense of urgency and diligence in our spiritual lives, our relationship with God, and to do so in two primary ways. First, directly in our relationship with God, and then also, secondly, in regards to our relationship with others, especially how we're supposed to live our relationship with others in light of our Christian faith. So first, in regards to our relationship with God, there's perhaps nothing more important than maintaining that sense of spiritual diligence and urgency, and there's also perhaps nothing that's more difficult to do. But it does come over time through the development of spiritual discipline. For example, of praying daily, no matter what. Of going to Mass on Sundays and holy days, no matter what. Going to confession regularly. Being devoted to God and the teachings of His church, no matter what. And so, if we find that we are putting off such commitments as going to Mass regularly, we've been putting off the commitment to some time set aside every day for prayer, or if we've been putting off going to confession, if we've been putting off finally dealing with that sinful habit that we know we struggle with, or a sinful relationship in which we find ourselves entangled, it's time to put it off no longer, right? The message of the gospel is that now is the time, today, to say, enough. Let's deal with this once and for all. Let's take our faith more seriously now, today. And then secondly, we need to foster a sense of urgency and diligence in regards to our relationship with others, and specifically the need to proclaim the good news of Jesus to a world that desperately needs to hear it. And here I would like to point out one timely example of this. Just this last week, our nation once again marked the anniversary of the tragic Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade in 1973, which legalized the evil practice of abortion in our society. And just yesterday, actually, thousands upon thousands of people participated peacefully in the March for Life in Washington, D.C. to peacefully protest the legality of abortion and seek changes in legislation and in human hearts, which would enshrine that gift of human life as the greatest of gifts, which deserves the greatest of protections. My question for us would be this. If we examine our own hearts and minds, do we notice there any kind of complacency regarding the need for us as Christians to be genuinely and noticeably pro-life? In other words, is it possible that due to the number of years that abortion has unfortunately been legal in this country, that we've become kind of desensitized to how utterly and atrociously evil it actually is? Are we willing to stand up for the gift of life, to protect it, to cherish it? So a good examination of our hearts might include asking ourselves, for example, does the utter injustice of the fact that people in our society often seem more enthused about buying the latest tech than protecting the lives of the unborn, does that bother us at all? Do we pray daily for the end to abortion, for a greater respect for the gift of human life in our society, and also for the healing and conversion of those who have had an abortion and who provide abortions? Do we take the opportunity to participate in pro-life initiatives which can truly help to save actual human lives, such as the annual 40 Days for Life campaign each fall? Do we remember when voting or supporting a political party or candidate that not all moral issues hold the same weight, but there is a hierarchy? And that we have to remember that the most fundamental and basic right that we have as human beings, the right on which all other rights depend, is the right to life. Or what if we were to fast one day a month for the end to abortion and other attacks on innocent human life? What if we were to pray one rosary a week for that intention? In other words, are we diligent, even urgent, in our desire to see practices which harm people and which attack human life, such as abortion, come to an end, and to see the gift of human life that God has given be cherished and honored? So, my friends, God's call for us to follow him and to help to change our world for the better is an urgent one, and it requires an urgent response. As we heard, the disciples responded immediately, at once, to God's call. My hope for all of us is that we do the same.